Hello, this is Barbara Peters. It's Saturday, April 21st, and I am sitting here, lucky me, with David Ricciardi, who has brought his first book to the Poison Pen, his first thriller, and we're lucky enough to have his publicist, Lauren Chaggers, here with him. So I thought that it would be interesting for them to talk a bit about how the relationship between author and publicist works, and in fact, why you're being published at all.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Yes, thank you. David, do you want to start a little bit about your sort of road to publication, and then I can talk about after the fact?
Yeah, I had originally self-published the book, and through a reader who had been given the book by someone else, had passed it along to a former publishing industry executive, and the publishing industry executive convinced me that the traditional publishing route would be a better from a marketing standpoint and from a sales standpoint, and that the resources available to traditional publishers vastly outweighed anything I could do on my own. And we ended up selling the book to Berkeley, and Berkeley has been incredibly supportive. And maybe Lauren wants to chime in here.
Berkeley is super excited about the book and has been super excited about the book for at least a year now. In the publishing industry, there's a thing called launch, where the editors will describe the book to the sales force. It's sort of the first debut time that that a book is sort of discussed in a larger setting. And when David's editor, Tom Colgan, launched this book for the sales force, everyone's jaws hit the floor. And the early reads coming from the sales department, from the marketing department, and from all of the publicists that read it was something that I haven't seen in a very long time. One of my favorite little anecdotes about the book was I had one of my publicity colleagues come into my office begging me for a galley. And I looked at her and I said, Jessica, you are the romance publicist. And she said, I can't put this book down. I'm so excited to finish it. So I think that shows the breadth of excitement within the publishing industry about Warning Light.
Thank you. I was going to intervene as a bookseller and say, we really ought to tell them what the title of the book is. Sorry.
Hopefully you'll have that on the webpage. So
we will. Yes. And in fact, people can buy autographed copies from us. But so you self-published it. I find that a fascinating road. And you did that why? Because you were impatient, or because you just didn't know how to go about getting a real publisher?
A little bit more with the impatience. I had also written the book really for myself. It was a project that I had always wanted to do. And when I finally had the time to start writing and really commit to it and commit to finishing it, because I suspect there are a lot of half-finished manuscripts in drawers around the world, I was just happy to finish it. I was happy with the finished product. And self-publishing was an adequate way for me to bring it out, and then I tried to market it a little bit, and the options were really pretty limited for marketing it, for a first-time author. I know some authors do it very successfully, but for me it was relatively limited, and the change, the difference between the advertising now, the publicity, the marketing, everything that Berkeley has been doing and what I was doing is just night and day. No comparison.
Well, I know I sounded a bit snide when I said real publisher, and I really didn't mean it that way. I meant a publisher with resources. But what the publishing executive was actually saying also to you is that if you are self-publishing and marketing your own book, you aren't having time to write another book. We have seen people go that road. And the truth is, then you're running a business as well as creating something.
Right.
And who has time for both of those, particularly if you already have a job that you are pursuing.
And I was reinventing the wheel. I don't know anything about book publicity or marketing, although I've learned quite a bit lately. But at the time, I knew nothing about it. So I was, you know, taking out small ads and things and willing to spend some money on it. But I didn't have any professional experience. And I look at the quality of the content and the ad placement and the placement in stores and things that Berkeley is able to do, and it's, you know, it benefits all of us greatly.
For example, sending out advanced reading copies to people like me so
yes,
that you would
absolutely.
Be here. But Lauren, tell us now, you know, this is obviously a full-scale campaign. You guys have
really
invested in this book. How do you go about setting one up from, you know, once you buy the book and you're all committed and you've paid him vast amounts of money and so forth, you have to actually
Did
make it work.
Did someone else come in here?
Sorry. Well, no, I mean, it's just a reasonable assumption. If you pay for something, you can't then not sell it.
Right.
So how do you go about that? Or your money is, you know, up
Absolutely.
The spout. So what are the steps that you've taken to make this book so successful?
You know, this was a full court press campaign by marketing colleagues, in addition to the publicity colleagues that I was working with. We really collaborated together on a full multi-pronged approach to getting this in front of all of the right people at the right time. Booksellers, industry professionals, big mouths within the industry, big mouth booksellers, much like
me.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
To the media, to the to early reviewers, to the trade, to trade reviewers, it was really getting the book in the hands of the right people all at the right time.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because you mentioned marketing and publicity. How does that division of labor play out?
So it's a little different everywhere you go, but within our group, and I may get corrected after this gets put online, our publicity department tends to work with traditional media outlets, print reviews, radio interviews, blog campaigns, be it reviews or interviews, Q&As, things of that nature.
Booksellers.
And book tours,
well,
of course.
Well, no, but I mean, you send out reading copies to try to get booksellers excited.
Absolutely. Well, we work with that. We collaborate with the marketing and sales departments on that as well, yes.
Okay.
Our marketing department tends to handle a lot of the bookseller outreach as well. We do a little bit of it, especially with stores that we typically tour authors to, but they do the bulk of it as
Well, not that I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
This is a learning experience for me. I just assumed that publicity took care of reading copies and also the sales reps, because I work most of the time through sales reps.
Well, they work a lot. The marketing and sales teams work together on getting those
advanced
reading copies.
But what is marketing doing while you're doing all that?
So while all that is going on my end, or my marketing department will work with Goodreads to get those out to get the advanced copies into the hands of Goodreads reviewers, Amazon, ad campaigns, be it print, digital, Facebook ads, any of that, social media campaigns, anything that's really targeting not only booksellers but also the consumers. That's what they're really focusing on, whereas the publicity is really looking at like tastemakers. That's the way that I sort of
That's a really interesting distinction. And you presumably have different budgets.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Nonetheless, if you're combining to make Warning Light successful, you have to have like an overall budget and an overall strategy, right?
Right. We have an overall strategy, and we work very, very collaboratively with the marketing colleagues to make sure that everything that we're doing is complementing each other. For example, when I announced to my colleagues in the marketing department, hey, I've set up this tour for Warning Light. We're hitting these stores and these cities. They make sure that they up Facebook ads or targeted ads online through Google to hit those markets to make sure that people know about it.
Gotcha. Now, I could say, since you are charming, personable, and very funny, and we have just done a Facebook Live piece with you so everybody can watch it and understand it, do you ever actually audition authors before you send them on the road? I'm serious. I have been doing this for a very long time, and one of the reasons that I go to book conventions and, you know, conferences and all kinds of things is to more or less audition authors to see which ones I think will do well at a book event.
Oh, absolutely. We take that into very big consideration when deciding what our marketing and publicity strategies are going to be. Not every author, just like not every person, is good in front of a crowd or in front of a group of people. They're a little more quiet, they're a little more reserved. That doesn't mean they're not a good author, and that doesn't mean that the book can be a success. It's just that we take their strengths into consideration when compiling what our approach is going to be and what our strategy is.
And Lauren's approach before these events has been to feed me a glass of scotch, thinking that will loosen my tongue every time.
That's why he's so charming.
He manages it. This time didn't happen, but he does.
Come on, 2 o'clock.
He does manage to be careful.
2 o'clock was 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. In New York.
I have to admit that I have met many an author in the bar or at the Hotel Valley Ho or at Virtue or somewhere and had, I am unfortunately one of the world's worst drinkers. I mean, I have no head for alcohol. So what often happens is the author's in great shape and I'm a basket case when we come back.
But, that's what every mystery writing conference is all about too. So.
Right. So also when you're doing this, do you have a strategy depending on like where the author lives or where the landscape of the book might be? In this case, the major landscape of the book is Iran. So
right.
Your book tour was not,
going to pursue that. Yes.
But David is from back east and all. And yet you're taking him. I mean, you're here in the West. You've been to Houston. Now you're in Scottsdale. What factors go into working out how you want to actually tour an author?
Absolutely. It really depends on the content of the book. You know, we definitely look at where an author lives and is from, and we want to get them out there to those audiences because they're going to have ties to the community and they can get people to come to a book signing. And then we also look at the content, the type of book that it is. For a book like Warning Light, we're going to look at the big successful mystery thriller stores that do well selling those books, and The Poison Pen and Murder by the Book are two of the prime examples of that, versus say a beach read women's fiction book where we would may send them to a store in South Carolina, we may send them to Atlanta, depending on where they're from and what the content of the book is, because those areas tend to do a little bit better with those genres of.
Well, you're absolutely right. We did an event for Dorothea Benton Franks, and you know, it was not a rousing success,
right?
Because we're in the desert and she's, you know, off the coast, the Atlantic coast and all. And I mean, she's a lovely author and I really like her books, but Scottsdale wasn't really a prime market.
Right. Yeah.
And it also varies by season for us. For example, in the winter from October to April, we have this enormous Canadian population,
right. Mm-hmm.
But they have to go home because their 6-month thing kicks in, you
right.
know, so it varies here according to the time of year.
Right.
And the temperature.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a real complicated equation, isn't it?
It's not just a straightforward thing. Planning a book tour actually takes some thought and some craft, and it takes a lot of finagling and scheduling in ways that when I started in this industry over 10 years ago, I still sometimes have to talk through with a colleague because I can't wrap my head around it just by looking at a calendar or looking at a list. So there, it takes some finesse. It really, really does.
So now that you have done your first book tour, is this is your finale today?
Yes.
Lucky you. You get to go home.
Ending on a high note here.
Well,
absolutely.
How kind of you. But what have you learned that you would apply or suggestions that you might want to make for planning your next one?
I absolutely loved being in conversation with the other authors. It was a real treat to hear their perspectives, hear their questions. I felt like I was learning something from everybody I talked to. And I know that's not necessarily the most common way to do it with more established authors, but I really personally really enjoyed that.
Your tour is interesting because normally an author might one or two stops, but apparently
every stop.
This stop is, I know that you were in New York with Mark Greene. You
yep.
said you were in Houston with Meg. You're here
Boston
with
Joe Finder.
Right. And you're
then
here
in
with
Connecticut with my editor, Tom Colgan. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
it was great.
So you have had a Cadillac of a tour, I have to say.
It's my first one, so I have nothing to compare it to, but I've been thrilled with it.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Fascinating. So do you have thoughts now that you know, it's interesting, Laura, because we've probably in 29 years seen maybe 7 publicists, you know? I mean, it's not normal that a publicist comes out with an author because,
right.
you know, it's a big expense. And
of course.
What is your takeaway having done this?
I've been so appreciative to be able to go on tour with David and with some other a few other authors in the past, because while I can, when we're planning these tours and we know the markets and we know the stores by email correspondence, to be boots on the ground and to see how the stores function and what their customer base is like and how the stores are laid out and set up and where the hotels are in relation to it, it really informs your decisions moving forward of how to set up tours in a much more enriching way. And getting to hang out with people in the stores, you sometimes forget while you're sitting in your office in New York what the whole point of this is, and it's to be out with, you know, the readers and with the booksellers, and to be able to be steeped back into that kind of reminds you why you do this.
I couldn't agree with you more. The other factor I will mention is that I find that most New Yorkers are geographically challenged. And so so they don't always understand that you really can't do Houston in the morning, Albuquerque at 4,
right,
and Scottsdale at 7, as I have actually had proposed to me once upon a time.
Wow.
It isn't surprising. I think very often, for example, somebody from Scottsdale going to New York City would be totally unprepared for how difficult it is to navigate your way around New York and how long it takes. Because, we just get in a car and drive.
You punch in your navigation software and it says 2.4 miles, 36 minutes.
I can tell you that last October, I was there over Columbus Day weekend, and I was down at 29th near 5th, and I had a dinner date at some 51st and 5th or something. I literally could not walk through the people.
Right.
That were on Fifth Avenue. It was enormous. Most of them appeared to be Chinese, which I thought was fascinating. But honestly, you would get to a light and there would be so many people, you couldn't make it through the curb. And so that was a whole thing that is a completely foreign experience, for somebody that lives here. So I think you're right. You have to be boots on the ground.
I think there needs to be a test for all publicists in geography and how flights work and how the connections work and where the major hubs are. You just learn these things as you start to plan all of these and book travel. So it comes with the territory of learning this country very, very closely.
Well, the one question I didn't ask you was why or how, in fact, did the book get to you? I know that it goes through an acquisitions process, but how was it that everybody got so excited and you decided to devote so many resources to this particular book?
It was the response from the sales department. It was just the response from everyone within the company that really saw the potential in this book.
So the editor took the book to the sales conference and presented it, and people read it. That's absolutely where it gets going.
Before it even got to there, the marketing director and the publicity director and the sub-rights director and the editor-in-chief and the publishers had all read the book and really said, this is the one we're going to put everything behind, because in this season, we see this as being one of the strongest books that we're publishing.
You're so lucky.
I'm incredibly fortunate.
But it's because you're so good.
Absolutely. I can't agree more.
I remember this similar.
That really means a lot to me, by the way. I know we're all laughing and have a good laugh, but from somebody with your background and your experience in this, I really take that to heart. I appreciate that.
I have fallen in love with two authors so far this spring. And one of the most pressing questions that weighs upon me is who is going to be the next generation of great authors? Mm. Because I've been doing this so long that guys like Sanford and Connolly and, that I have done their first books with them and gone all the way through with them, we're all beginning to age out. And so I worry who is going to be next. I have fallen in love with you and an author named Jack Carr this spring.
Oh, Terminalist, yeah.
Yes, because I think, you guys are like the complete package. You've got, wonderful characters. You've got terrific plots. You've got great publisher support, which, is not an insignificant factor.
Absolutely.
And all. And you're both very personable.
Thank you.
It's been charming to have both of you here at this door.
Thank you.
And so, sometimes people say to me, how did you know? We do something and it turns into this whatever, and customers will say to us, how did you know? And I say, it seriously, this is the foundation upon which all of this rests. I said, I read the book.
Yeah.
And that is not a common a feature, as you might think.
Right.
People don't necessarily read the book, it works out very well. Anyway, it's been a wonderful treat to have you here.
And we're
looking forward to having you come back and learn. It's been terrific to have you too. Thank you.